saw something very beautiful that is quite striking and necessary to go back on this part over here as well. Klal Yisrael are coming very, very close to Eretz Yisrael now, and just before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him that there's one more thing you have to do before you die, and that is you've got to make a mochama. You've got to fight against where's the pasuk? Yeah, in Perik Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vadab Hashem Moshe Lemoy, Nekoy Nikas Bnei Yisrael Me'isa Medyonim, go and take Nekoma Me'isa Medyonim Ache to Osef Alamecho, and then you will die. Which seems very clear that the condition of him going to war would be that he would die. If you want to extend the time and not go to war now, Moshe Rabbeinu could live a few more years, as the Gemara says. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to war, and it's expressed exactly who went to war. Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata Chomati, Sishol Tishol Chulatovo. There were Elef Lamata, 12,000 went out to war, and 12,000 went to daven for them. Okay? I'm sorry?
12,000 to war, and how many to daven?
12,000 to daven. Yeah? And they stood on a battlefield, and daven on a battlefield. And they sent them as a very, very successful war, and they killed them. And they killed all the men they needed to kill. They killed Bilam, and the Chameshes Malchim Midian did very, very, very well. They left over the wife and the women and the children, and they took over everything back. Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset with them, that left them over. And then it talks about in great, great, great detail the ins and outs of they split up all the stuff that they took from the war, from the bounty. There was incredible amounts of detail over here, posuk after posuk. It works split up in a way it's worked out, which needs itself a whole share. And then at the end of it, if you look in Perek Lamed Beis, Umikne Rav Hoyu Vnei Reuven Vnei God Otzum Moed, and Vnei God Vnei Reuven had a huge amount of cattle they wanted to take care of, and they saw it's Eretz Yazev, it's Gilad, Mikne, and it's also a place of pasture. Now, I never saw this, I never realized, I mean, it passed my scrutiny. When exactly did Bnei God and Bnei Reuven make this suggestion? When? Now, when exactly was it? When exactly? Mikne Rav Hoyle Bnei Reuven Bnei God, when exactly did they make this suggestion? In other words, where did they want to take a part of Eretz Yisrael? It's not over here. It wasn't the in Melchemes Midyon that they wanted it. In fact, it's referring back to a parasha, the end of Parashas Chukas. In Parashas Chukas, that is where they have the war with Sichon Oig, and that is close to the Yarden. Yeah, and that's when they saw Vayakei Yisrael Lefichorev Yishes Arutzim Ani Aboyka Bnei Amoin Keotgul Bnei Amoin and took all the Orim Bnei Amoyre Cheshbon Chol Bnei Seho Yisichim. And there it talks about over there clearly where they had a very good piece of land was in Eretz Sichon and Oig. Here we're talking about Eretz Midyon, which is nowhere near. All of a sudden, Mikne Rav Hoyle Bnei Reuven Bnei God. When exactly did they make this protest? When did they make this suggestion? It doesn't seem right that it came over at this particular point in history in the Torah. What it seems very much is, at the point in time of Parashas Chukas, is when Bnei God Bnei Reuven saw it, and they made that request to stay in this part of Eva Hayar, did not go into Eretz Yisrael, take over a far larger part that's lush, and for them able to bring up the cattle, leave Eretz Yisrael, second best over here. And then Moshe Rabbeinu made all these different conditions and said to them, if you come and fight and you come with Klal Yisrael, then you get it. If you don't, you won't. And they agreed, and it's all back and forth negotiations, and they went and Tucker fought. But why did they bring in over here in Parshas Matos of Bnei God Bnei Reuven? What's it relevant over here? So I thought that perhaps it got to do with that now this was a place, suddenly they got loads of mikneh. Suddenly they got loads of cattle. Why? Because from all these different cattle that they got split up from the war, suddenly Bnei God, Bnei Reuven got much more cattle. And therefore, now they're interested in looking after it. And now they remember Sichon Og is a good location to bring up cattle. It's absolutely not true. Because first of all, why dafka Reuven and Bnei God? Klal Yisrael split up all equally. So never got, it says, Bnei Reuven, Bnei God had a tremendous amount of cattle. It's not true, they all had, number one. Number two, much earlier in the Torah, when Klal Yisrael were complaining about the mon, and haven't got meat. Yeah, so it's brought down over by the Misoinin. It says Rashi brings a proof that when Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuben had a huge amount of cattle when it came in to Eretz Yisrael, right? And says Rashi, at the time they must have had a lot of cattle at the time then. So why were they complaining? Stam, they were complaining. They had plenty of food and had plenty of meat. They were stam complaining. Is a raya that it wasn't just at this stage in time that after the Mulchama, after the war over here, that they had plenty of cattle. It must have been already from much earlier on in the Torah they had plenty of cattle. If that's the case, why are they waking up over here? Why are they talking about it over here after Mechemes Midyon? That is a question that's bothered me. Baruch Hashem, I found in a wonderful sefer of Reb Neventhal, and he says, you're right. Enochanami. It's more than likely that this whole parasha over here, or parasha Lamed Beis, all the way to the end of, almost to the end of the parasha, actually is cut and paste of something that happened much earlier on. And it was over here to bring out a point. What's a point that you have to bring out? The point is a tremendous lesson in priorities. A tremendous lesson of what is important. Where is our sights? What do we see as being the number one priority? And therefore, what the Torah did was, we contrasted two groups of people to show, one group of people is like this, or one group of people is like, look at the difference. That is what the Torah is doing. So the Torah takes the Mechemes Midyon, and Torah takes a group of very, very special people who went out to fight. What did they go out to fight? If you look in the parasha very interestingly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to go out and fight, there was a command that says in Perek Lamed Aleph, "Nekoim nikmas bnei Yisrael me'isa midyonim." Go and Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Go and Pasuk Beis. Go and take the revenge of Klal Yisrael me'isa midyonim. In other words, Klal Yisrael got so badly beaten by Midyon because they did all this chet and so many people died. So go along and fight them for that. Vadabe Moshe lo omle mor. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, saying, "Hecholtzem itchem anoshim loses nikmas Hashem." The Midyan, to take out the revenge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midyan. Why? Because all the terrible Chil Hashem of Avodah Zarah and Znus that took place there was a terrible Chil Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is caring about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Carries on the parasha, and the parasha says exactly what they did. V'yitzvah Midyan kashetziva Hashem es Moshe v'yagu kol zocho. They followed every single command. In fact, later on, they were had so much rachamim, they went beyond the rachamim. Now, I don't know whether you understand what it's like to go out to war. You ever done it? That's all you've been? Yeah? It's something which is a breakdown of every single social and moral and physical thing that we're used to. On a very, very simple basis. You're away from home. You don't have the comforts. Yeah, you don't have the comforts. Besides the worry and the risks, you just don't have the comforts. You don't have your bed, you don't have your cushion, you don't have your alarm clock, you don't have your bathrobe, you don't have your socks, you don't have you don't have it, right? They don't have the comforts. You are threatened by enemies. You can lose who you are. You can lose your identity as an individual. They do, very, very nice, good people turn into savages. And they do. They turn into savages. And Rahman al-Islam, later on, they can do the very, very terrible things. And the United Nations peacemakers, excuse me. Yeah? They go along, and sometimes they're caught doing terrible, terrible things. That's not being good people. But a position of power and position of war can corrupt a person. And in fact, the Torah says, when you go out to war, against Irani Dachas, to wipe them out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you a bracha that you'll have rachamim. I'll reinstill inside you rachamim, because if you don't, you lost. And to go to war and to come back unscathed, to go to war and to come back worried about avodas Hashem, is incredible. It's showing that the priorities of who I am and what I stand for is all about my morals and my connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, did they touch any of the Mokach? Every single thing they found, they brought back. Every single thing. You know, it's very nice to go into a house and there's a nice pair of diamond earrings. Yeah, you bring it back for the wife. Yeah, she, you know, it's not easy. She's been away from home for a few months now. Yeah, so who's losing out? What do you care? No. Es kol ha-malkoyach, every single thing is kol ha-sholol. Nothing they took for themselves. Not only that, they paid taxes. Like everybody, they paid taxes. Yeah? All the money was koshel mahadrin. At the end of it, in Posuk. I'm sorry? They took some for themselves, and then they had to the Kohenim and to various different people along the way. They paid tax, which means they didn't feel entitled to it. Yeah, they felt that they have an obligation to, you know, to pay their dues, even within the financial dues. And then later on in Pasuk Nun, but not create this korban Hashem isha shemosa klizov. It's other but some tabas or ogav kumah zachapan nafshin if Hashem. They did a special korban. What was that korban for? A kapora? For what? For machshava, because for illicit thoughts they may have had when they were doing a milchama. They didn't do anything wrong, but they may have had a machshava. That is what they brought a special korban for, after they have all the money kosher mahadrin. You're dealing here with people who have total self-control, people who know their values and understand what it's all about. This is where we have Midyan. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's great. I want to bring you another group of people. And that group of people is called Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, who are they? These are people who, for good reason or for better reasons, decided that they want to have a very, very good parnasa. What for? I'm sure, Shem Shemaim, to be able to support a family. I'm sure it was meant to get, be able to sit and learn in Koilol. They should have an easy parnasa. But they compromise and they did not go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, va'eschanon tfilis. Just that he should go to Eretz Yisrael. They could have gone and they didn't go. What happened to them? They, it's brought down in the after 14 years of going to fight, they came back and did not recognize their children. Their children looked like goyim. They did not recognize their children. They came back and the chinuch, they were surrounded by those people who couldn't fight, surrounded by goyim. They were compromised on the chinuch of their kids. For what? For the sake of extra money. For the sake of extra money. For the sake of having a little bit easier. That is what they compromised on the chinuch of their children. Sorry? They could have gone with their families and with the children to Eretz Yisrael.
Are you talking about Bnei God?
Bnei God, Bnei Reuven, yeah. Bnei God, Bnei Reuven got back. That's what happened. That's what happened. Right?
The others didn't.
The others didn't. They took their families with them. Right? And it didn't look like that way. Now, so Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were willing to live in Eva HaYarden, to compromise on the Kedusha of where they live for the sake of Parnassah. What happened there? We see later on that not only did they compromise for the sake of Parnassah over Eretz Yisrael, they compromised for the sake of Parnassah for the sake of their children as well. In other words, the Pasuk says later on, in Lamed Beis Tezayin, they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "Gidrois soin, nivne limiknenu poi. Let us build pens for our sheep, va'orim letapenu and cities for our children. Va'nachnu lecholitz chushim, and we'll go over and we'll go and fight. Va'orim mitzor b'pnei yoshvaros. In other words, we will build these cities in order to protect our children against terrorists. But what do they say first? What they're going to do? The prophet says, we'll go along and build gidrei tzoin. We'll first build pens for our sheep, and then we'll deal with our children's needs. Carries on the pasuk, and vayomer lehem Moshe. This is on pasuk Chof. Va'ovet kolos hayadein, and he says, "Bonu lechem pasuk Chof Dalet. Bonu lechem orim letapchem. Are you crazy? First build cities for your children, v'gidrei tzoin lechem, and then look after your money. What's going on over here?" There was a slip of the tongue. The slip of the tongue was, yeah, do you see that? In Pasuk Chavov? Yeah? So in Pasuk Chavov, it says, where does it say that? Yeah, in Pasuk Chavdalad. B'nu lechem orim letapchem, build cities for your children, and then gedereis etzoinchem, and then build pens for your sheep. This was a slip of the tongue. When you have a slip of the tongue that says to your children, even if you don't mean to say it, what's more important is money than you, you have destroyed the value of human life. You have destroyed the value of human life. You're telling your children that I have very high priorities in my world. You are very, very important, but money is even more important. How many people fall through that trap? How many people, the kids say to them, Daddy, I'm not interested in another bike. I'm not interested in another Nike boots. I want just your time. 60%. I just want your time. There was one kid I know. He's the sweetest, most beautiful child. I understand. His father asked him what he wants for his afterclimen present. He said, I want Hashem to burn down your law practice. That's the one. I want your law practice to burn down. He says, why? He said, because at least I'll be able to spend some time with you. The father got such a shock, he closed his law practice and he went to work for a very, very, very well-known Jewish organization, and he's making a tremendous impact. And he spends a lot more time with his kids. So tell your kids, number one is Parnassa, and then I worry about you. That is telling them that life is not important. What happened to these kids? What happened to that society there? The Gemara says, later on, in Parshas Masa, it talks about the Ori Miklot. How many Ori Miklot were there?
No.
That's how many cities there were. There were six. There were six Ori Miklot. Six Ori Miklot. Three in Eretz Yisrael proper, and three in Eva HaYarden. Now, one second. Is that proportionally correct? Eva HaYarden has only 2.5 tribes. The other ones had 9.5 tribes. So it doesn't make sense. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense. Answers the Gemara, because in Eva HaYarden Shechichu Reitzchim, there were more murderers there. Ask Tosfos, what are you talking about? You don't go to Ori Miklot. A murderer doesn't go to Ori Miklot. That's amazing. Doesn't go to Ori Miklot. A shogi goes to Ori Miklot. Right? And therefore, just because there's more murderers, what's it got to do with Ori Miklot? How does that answer the question? The answer is, because in a society, a feeling goes over. If there's such a thing as Reitzchim, if there are murderers, and these murderers are able to kill, human life is cheap, then I'm not careful how strongly the top of my hammer is onto the handle. And therefore, a lot more shogigim happened as well. Accidents only happen if there is carelessness. Carelessness happens when there's a lack of sensitivity. If a person drove around, let's say he has a little thing in a moshav, and the only people he sees in that moshav are his grandchildren and his great grandchildren. He would drive a lot slower than he driving down Nachal Ma'or. Why? Because that means a lot to him, and that doesn't mean so much to him. He's not a murderer, Chas v'Shalom. He's not somebody out to kill children, Chas v'Chalila. But there's a lack of care. There's a lack of sensitivity. It doesn't mean that much to him. Says in Mephoroship, because there was a lot of mezidin, there were murderers there. That's why he needed a lot more shogigim as well. The whole society was corrupt. Where did that beginning of society, where did that corruption begin? When you tell children that I don't have my priorities straight, when you tell children what's more important to you is my parnasa, then you're telling children that I don't really care about you, I don't even care about human life, and that was where the shayrish of the bad started, that it eventually ended up with a corrupt system and a corrupt society where there was murderers, where there was shogigim, and the whole society fell apart. That was what happened in this week's parasha. And therefore, for that very reason, the Torah takes two groups of people and shows you, on one hand, we have the people who went out to fight in Midian, these people who are focused, these people knew what money is all about, and they left it, and they were kind and they were compassionate, even when they're over compassionate. We should have had to tell them off. That's one group of people. And then you get people who, with a slip of the tongue, let the cat out of the bag, and they say, you know what, my children are very important, but money is even more important. That is a society that creates an environment where there's murder and there's no sensitivity. He brings over here Rav Nevensal, that many years ago, there was a 4-month strike when the doctors and nurses went on strike against the government. doctors and nurses went on strike against the government. It lasted for 4 months. How many people, Rahman al-Islam, could have died or suffered terribly? How many people? For 4 months! Not talking about a day or two. 4 months, doctors and nurses refused to treat people. The government refused to back down. That is a society that is corrupt, where human life is not as important as money. And this is what the parasha tells us. We have to be aware of what is our priority. Where is our focus? And that is why Dafka in this week's parasha put together two groups of people out of context in order to give us this message. Because Baruch Hu should always give us the understanding and the knowledge and the feeling of how important it is to human life, how important our family is, and way down on priority list is that important for money. Thank you. All right.